B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Oh, he just whipped his penis out.
We're pretty good gas.
At least that's what Harvey Westmoreland and his brother Joseph used to think about former friends Troy Holt and James Hill. That was before May of last year on Willisburg Road, where Holt used to live.
My brother was cleaning out the stalls out there for Troy, you know, working for him. And they called, want me to come around there. Well, when I get there, I realize that they're already drunk.
And of all things to fight about, Westmoreland says, punches started flying over this lawnmower.
Troy offered to buy it from me for $250. I paid $20 for it. He thought I was trying to cheat him. One thing led to another, and before I knowed it, there was knives and guns and everything just went haywire.
He says his brother had a mark on his neck where a knife was held. But Westmoreland's loss was more permanent.
They cut my beard and forced me to eat it.
He says Holt and Hill let them go, but threatened them.
If we called the police, they said we would not live to see daylight.
But that wasn't enough to keep the two brothers from calling 911.
I believe in the law. I believe that justice has been served. And, you know, it will be after Tuesday.
That's the sentencing date. And while it'll take some time for some things to grow back to normal,
it's not as long as it was.
Westmoreland says what's more important, he and his brother lived to tell the tale.
I was actually in fear for my life. They cut my beard and forced me to eat it.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We are on Twitch over there. Keep Nick's job. For if you are on Twitch, it justifies his position of running the Twitch cam, which got him full-time responsibilities, I believe, here at the radio station. So if you care at all about people who've woken up covered in their own feces on their deathbed only to get engaged with the woman who found him, then you should look at twitch.tv. Now, you just played a clip, which is from YouTube. This is how you find those things. And YouTube used to be a place where you could find fabulous, you know, Hicktown news reports and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just a bastion of crap my daughter watches. Just awful. Healthy Junk Food is a show. And it's all cut. My daughter, like, loves cooking. Mm-hmm. And so it's all cut in these weird ways where, and it's all, like, adults acting like children. There's the one creepy one that we've talked about before where the guy goes out with, I have to imagine they're his daughters, but did someone say that they weren't? Where they have, like, this list of places that they have to do gymnastics.
Yeah, where he takes pictures of like, kids all around town, like, bending in weird shapes and stuff.
Yeah, and then there's, like, that's not all, though. There is a show where there are two young girls, and they do things like pose the alphabet, and it's just awful. I mean, not. I don't have any moral qualms about it, except for maybe the guy who takes pictures. But they all have to be super jacked up. Like, they all have to be, like, super hyper.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're running around. And they're like, all right, girls, you got to go to Starbucks and get you to pose. And then the girls, like, contort their bodies.
And then he takes a picture of them, and he's like, let's go. And they run around. And then, yeah, and so it's all like, my daughter's very big into the baking and contortionists.
Well, the baking thing seems fine. It's like, okay.
It's just annoying. It's just annoying. And then there's a lot of people who, it's like a brother and sister situation where they're older. And they don't do anything. They're just in their house clowning around. And that is what you watch. Now, I don't know if this is me being an old man and not getting what the kids are into.
Yeah.
But the YouTube, not entertaining in the least. None of it is entertaining.
It's still better than TikTok.
Well, TikTok is the future. Oh, I'm not lying to you.
Like
TikTok is the future.
Like, I see this stuff. It's like, hey, Rob Gronkowski joined TikTok, and it's the funniest thing ever. And it'll be like him like doing this dance for 5 seconds. And I'm like, why is this supposed to be amazing?
That's the way kids are going to consume media, in those little bits, those little like 20-second bits. Oh yeah, both my kids make TikToks. Lockhart's kids make TikToks. Oh, that's everything. You got to get on TikTok. I don't know how. But but that is the way that media is consumed now.
But I haven't seen like one thing on TikTok that is worth watching.
What did I see that was worth watching? It was like an animal taking a crap or something.
I can see why you consume
like,
it. Then
it was like an elephant taking a crap, and it like I had smiled. But like my son shoves the phone in my face. He goes, "Look," and you're like, "This isn't like not even remotely the premise." There's no premise. There's no punchline. There's no nothing. There's nothing that is interesting about this. But that is the future. TikTok is what, at least for the time being, is how kids are gonna do the media. I mean, it's no guy following around young girls taking pictures of them contorting their bodies in public places.
Which is just weird. Like, I understand Dude Perfect. Like, that's something I get. I know why kids like it. I have no problem with it because it's like, all right. That's weird. You're going to throw this basketball off of a helicopter. It's going to bounce off four things, and then it's going to go into basketball.
You're going to have like
that's interesting.
A positive message towards Jesus, which I knew immediately. I looked at them and I said, this is religious. Like, these guys are like super Christian.
But that part of it, like, I understand why kids watch that.
My kids don't even like that. My kids think they're corny.
Yeah, my kids have kind of phased out of it, too. Yeah. They used to watch it religiously, and then within the last year, they're like,
because they spaz out, like they do
after everything. They go, whoa, like after everything they do,
and they're like corny looking, and like they look like they're from Leave It to Beaver, and you're
with baseball caps on backwards. But other than that,
I mean, the one guy's got a beard; he's like he's the leader,
right?
But the other guys look like like Christian youth, like they're like youth pastors. And, you know what I'm saying? They look
I do.
They look like youth pastors where you like go to the thing and then they're like, check it out. I can like make this great pot.
That's right. They're clean cut guys that like put on T-shirts and baseball caps on backwards to hide the fact they're in disguise.
Yeah, because
I get it.
I sniffed out like a weird religious vibe with them.
No, I get it.
And then I Wikipedia'd it and indeed like I was right. But yeah, my kids think they're like super corny. Because they spaz out after everything. I mean, you can only spaz out about so many things before it becomes, all right, dude, you made a big basketball shot.
You hit this hockey puck into a water balloon, and it exploded. Whoa!
Like, I don't have to shave. Like, there's, like, two guys on that. I believe they're brothers that don't have to, like, they don't
they're
have
twins.
To shave.
Yeah,
they don't have to shave.
Yeah.
Which is annoying. So, yeah, that's got, like, quote-unquote positive vibes.
Sure.
Which the kids aren't into that. like
sad but true.
Your kids sniffed it out. It's a sign of intelligence. I mean, they said like these guys are complete tools. They're like youth pastors.
I know. I had one son that wanted them to like come and do a show in our backyard for like a month, and then it was it.
No,
they're doing a thing, I believe, at the TD Garden.
Are they really?
Yeah, this summer they're coming to the TD Garden.
Wow, all right. Well, look out.
But then again, I mean, Impractical Jokers sold out the TD Garden.
That's true, too.
Dan was telling me, and I remember when we had one of the guys in the studio, he was talking about it. They got a movie coming out.
Yeah.
Like, it's yeah. like, and I think it's actually going to be released at the theater.
Yeah.
In like not, 2 weeks, I think.
Not a huge marketing push behind it. That show sucks, Impractical Jokers. They do a thing where they, boy, does it suck. Like the little things they do are so dumb.
I actually haven't watched it. I mean, when the guy came in, I watched like one or two skits, and I thought it was okay, it was pretty good. You know, I was like, all right, well, that's an interesting concept. And then, but I didn't. I wasn't guffawing, but I haven't watched many more than... And what channel is it even on? Is it True TV?
Yes.
Once again, the channel that only exists during the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's on... Yeah, I don't know if it's... It's fine. It's on True TV. I don't know. But, like, the only way that they fail is that they, like, pussy out and doing the things. And it's like, you got, like, releases from people. Like, why would... I would do anything. Like, why would I, if I knew I was on TV, why would I pussy out of the thing? I mean, there's releases. Like, they'll be like, I can't say that. And everyone's like, whoa! And then they did a thing where they had to put, like, a leash on someone at the grocery store's, like, backpack. And if they found out you put the leash on it, then, like, you were eliminated. And my kids even thought it was dumb. Now, not like that weird Dude Perfect youth pastor situation.
I'll send you a link, something you can watch with your kids, because a listener actually made me aware of this guy on YouTube. He's the Kentucky Turtle Hunter.
All right. I like that.
And I can't figure out why he does it, but he just goes into the swamp and finds, like, big-ass snapping turtles and goes, yeah! And pulls them out by the tail and makes this weird noise, like, woo!
See, that's something that I could get into for about 5 minutes.
And, like, the whole time, like he'll have this pile of turtles. It'll be, like, yeah. 50 of them. And they're all on top of each other, this massive humanity. Like, why are we here? And I'll be like, why did you do this to these poor turtles? Just mind their own business.
That sounds very challenging, this expedition.
Yeah. And he's everything you think he is. Like, he looks exactly the way you imagine in your head right now, the Kentucky snapping turtle hunter.
But that's not even dangerous.
Oh, yeah, it's dangerous as hell. These guys will bite your finger off.
I know, but not
I know it's dangerous him. Because he goes over all of his scars and missing nubs.
Well, then he's like grabbing him by the head. I mean, if you grab a turtle by the bottom.
Slowest moving human being
ever. You don't
ever.
Understand it. See, I'm so into this. You don't understand it. You can't see them when you're in the swamp. You have to step on their back and feel with your toes where their head is. So he's like missing toes.
All right.
Because he'll like move the toe to the wrong thing and they'll snap his toe off. So then he has to go in and get him by the right end, like the tail. If you grab the head, that sumbitch will bite your finger off.
Yeah, it's like Okie Noodling when they get stuck underwater and die.
Right. See, YouTube can have some of its
moments. No, I'm talking about the things that are directed to the youth. I mean, yeah, I mean, you can watch people die on YouTube.
Well, I don't want to do that.
Have you ever YouTube like the 10 hidden tapes that they found, and there's this one guy that's obsessed with Bjork. Okay. And it goes through, like, him becoming mad. Like, it's him, like, over the course of the year. He's taping himself, and he's getting crazy until he finally blows himself away, and you can see it. Yeah. Paul, go ahead.
Oh, my God, guys. Welcome to hell, Fred. 2 years of it now for me.
Yeah.
I got a Spark TV. My daughter learned how to use the remote. Oh, my God, I can name 100 different YouTubers now.
Oh, yeah, same with me. Like,
it's just friggin' a nightmare. And what's worse is she'll watch Cartoon Network shows like Teen Titans on there, and we'll get like a 5-minute clip of the show. No beginning, no ending. So it's like, all right, what's the plot? What is the friggin' plot?
Oh, yeah, there's no plot. It's all just little ADD situations.
Ernie the Turtle Man, that's it. Thank you to our listeners. That is who I'm talking about.
Dude Perfect are coming to the garden?
Yep. Come to TD Garden.
Like the real garden?
Yeah,
like
the TD Garden. They're playing the TD Garden.
They're not going to block off like when they do the zoo or the circus there?
I think it's the same kind of setup when they did the thing that, who was the guy who had the bikes? Travis Pastrana or whatever, when they do something like that. It's like, might be the back.
What the hell is that show going to be? Them just doing sweet trick shots?
They're sweet.
They're coming in July. I just looked it up.
Yep.
End of July.
What the hell are they going to do?
I don't know. I'm going to take a look.
Dude,
and see
what
if
were Impractical Jokers doing at the TD Garden? But they did it.
I don't know. I don't. What do I know? But dude, maybe they, you know, they're supposed to be comedians or something. Dude Perfect. I think that in Practical Jokers probably showed video and then like talked about it.
Sure.
But Dude Perfect, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on you.
Floor seats are $250.
Oh, yeah, because that's how you're getting close. God. That's where that's called the spaz section, where you can see them like, it's like Showtime at the Apollo. There's people just like running around. I made the shot. All right, so Rich, both local teams played last night.
We did, and not so fast on the Mookie Betts trade.
All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Tough is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, we heard it all day yesterday from people trying to defend the Mookie Betts trade. He didn't want to be here. He was going to leave anyway, despite there not being one quote from Mookie indicating anything of the sort. Well, now we have Hall of Famer Jim Rice, who yesterday, while speaking to the MLB Network, said that he had spoken to Mookie since the trade, and here is what his sentiments were.
But I talked to Mookie last night, and even when I was doing Nesson, and I asked him about it, he came out and said, look, he said, this is my home. I don't want to go any place else. He said, I don't care what people have said or what they're talking about. This is my home. I want to stay here. And then I talked to him last night. He said, look, he said, I'm going to tell you. He said, and I told you before, I wanted to stay. But, you know, and he said, it was a business deal. And he said, I can't do anything about it. It was a business deal. And they chose to go that way, and I have to accept it. And that's what he said.
Once again,
I don't believe him.
Well, there is a difference between someone wanting to get paid market value and someone not wanting to be here, the narrative that was thrown out there yesterday. What do you think about that, Jim Rice?
That's what he said.
Okay, I appreciate that.
That's
sir.
What he said.
That's what he said. That's what he said.
Yeah, I am
reading.
Okay, so I am reading, as I read about this trade on a national level, people are comparing that this trade to the way the Dodgers built their system.
And read that too.
Right. And then, because you shake your head because a lot of that talent's homegrown. And then, and to do that, you have to feed the coffers. And I don't know if this is not similar to Cashman was willing to sit out a couple of years in order to build his farm system, trade away some pieces, and build that way. Maybe this is the way baseball is now. Do you sacrifice your system in order to keep one player? That is the question. I mean, because to win in, you would agree, John, to win in Major League Baseball, you have to, the majority of your talent has to come from developing them.
Yes, you do. But when you make these trades, you have to hit on them in a big way. Like, for instance, you were mentioning that, the Yankees in Cashman sat out a year or two.
More than that.
I don't know if it was more than that.
Oh, baby, it was more than that. Don't you worry.
The point was they traded Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs, and they got back Libertores. I mean, that's a massive win, especially because Chapman was a rental, and then they signed him when he became a free agent.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're telling me that this guy Gratterall is going to be the best pitching prospect ever, or if you're telling me that Verdugo is going to really turn out to be a great pickup, then sure,
this is
great. But if you're going to make a trade like this, you have to hit on
it. Okay, but I would, but the argument is that if you give Betts that kind of contract, we both agree he's not worth that amount of money over that amount of time.
No,
okay.
That unfortunately though is not the going rate, but something close to that.
But the way that Dombrowski left this organization is that you can't keep signing these guys.
We discussed this yesterday, and Rich laughed at me and said, what do you mean they can't afford it? The way that they have chosen to set up their salary structure and get out from under this luxury tax penalty, and Dan Roach was talking about this also yesterday morning, you can't afford to have Mookie Betts on this roster this year.
By the way, Dan Roach saying that it was going to end up costing them $700 million in the luxury tax, he was only off by about $630 million. He meant to say $70 million okay.
He's
over
a repeat, as a repeat offender, a multiple-time repeat offender. Now, the numbers are off, but the point is still the same. Okay. There was a reason why they got rid of that $27 million salary.
I mean, and then the argument that, you know, you could afford to sign Mookie Betts. Well, any team could afford to sign Mookie Betts. I mean, Tampa could afford to sign Mookie Betts. I mean, they have the money. But it's 1 year. I don't think he's worth that amount of money. I think Dombrowski, the more I thought about it, the more I read, I think that this is a good decision. And, John, you talk about what you
maybe get. A good decision, but it was a bad haul they got back.
I don't know that.
Well, let's take a listen, because there's trouble in paradise. It looks like the Red Sox may have hit a snag, and the Mookie trade might need to be altered. After viewing the medical records of your guy, Brustar Graterol, the Red Sox found some red flags that project. No, I was talking to John.
Okay.
Brustar Graterol, yes.
That projects him to be more of a reliever than as a starter, according to these red flags, which apparently the Red Sox were the only people in America who thought this guy was going to be a starter in the first place. As a result of the evaluation, the Sox might ask for an additional player and or money to bridge the gap, because that always works out after you've already agreed to a trade.
It worked well with San Diego when they got Drew Pomeranz.
So they are the Red Sox really going, hang on, this history that he's got and these medical, you're telling me he's not going to be a starter? What, didn't everybody say that this guy was not going to be a starter?
No, he was.
And now the Red Sox are acting surprised by it?
He was a reliever. He was a reliever from Minnesota in their farm system.
Yes.
He was a reliever when he got called up last year.
So none of the players have been formally notified of the trade. Boy, is Mookie going to be surprised when he finds out he got traded. So Alex Verdugo, the other player headed to Boston, he's been cleared medically, even though he did not play after August 4th last season due to a back issue. So Gatterall is a guy who was out from May 25th to August 7th last season with like that right shoulder impingement, but he received recovery. And now they're saying, hey, who would have thought that this super fat pitcher guy might have some issues with his body?
Well, I got to tell you, fat pitchers seem to last.
It's a decent point. Decent point.
I mean, Wells drank every night.
Juan Berenguer.
Yeah, Bartolo.
Bartolo Colon.
I mean, is he still pitching?
I think he just stopped like 2 years ago.
No, you know what? I really want to look that up, because I wouldn't surprise me if he was on a roster somewhere.
I thought he had his like big going away thing like 2 years ago, but I could be wrong.
It was at like a Chili's.
Yes, it was. Well, one of Mookie's ex-teammates, Nathan Eovaldi, he weighed in on the trade.
Big moves, obviously. You know, it's unfortunate, I guess. For the staff, you know, I'm talking about DP, but having him a part of the staff, it's, you know, he was a big role, or a big guy for us. And then, of course, losing Mookie, top of the lineup, right field and everything. You know, it's hard to see the big picture right now.
Yeah.
He was on a roster. Bartolo Colon pitched until he was 45. Last season was the first season since 1997 he wasn't on a roster.
Okay.
All right. Big, so, like, fat guys, in all fairness,
they do okay.
They seem to last. They seem to last. Who was the fat guy that was on? Oh, John is going to kill me.
What is it?
Power hitter, Kansas City fat.
John Mayberry.
No, Mayberry wasn't fat.
Willie Mays Aikens.
He was a white guy.
Okay.
With
Steve Balboni?
Steve Balboni. Thank you.
Yeah.
Steve Balboni.
I'm on it.
Steve Balboni loved it.
Yeah.
He's loved to eat.
Well, ask any Red Sox fan. Rich Garces.
Oh, yeah.
Rich Garces. Fan favorite.
Rich Garces just has a fat name.
He was the last guy to wear 34 before Ortiz got it. Yep.
Okay, well, that was unnecessary.
Yeah.
That was unnecessary maneuver.
Just flexing a little.
Flexing. Steve Balboni hit you about $150.
Yep.
25 home runs.
He was Rob Deer before Rob Deer.
Oh, Rob. They had Rob Deer, Mickey Tendleton, and Prince Fielder. Or not Prince Fielder. And, Prince Fielder.
Yes. All three of those guys.
Yeah. Cecil Fielder, I apologize. Cecil Fielder.
Fielder, yes.
So they were good for about 1,000. Talking baseball.
Kazuski Campanella.
Talking baseball.
The man and Bobby Feller.
The scooter.
Who's Kaczynski?
The barber and the nuke.
What?
Who's Kaczynski?
Ted Kaczynski? That has nothing to do with baseball.
Was he the
murderers? Everybody loves them.
Kluszewski.
Okay, who's Kaluski?
Kluszewski.
I don't know who that is.
A power hitter for the Minnesota Twins in the 60s.
Oh, Jesus.
Manson and Ted Bundy. This song starts in the 1950s. The first words of the song, the Wiz Kids had done it. Bobby Thompson had won it. So they go from 1950 to the 70s.
How about Jack the Ripper?
Norton has a...
He'll stab you through your zipper.
Norton has an act now about Ted Bundy, and they're like, everyone thinks Ted Bundy's a genius. He represented himself in court and got the death penalty. You literally could have an orangutan crap in its hands and push it in the jury's faces. And then the verdict would have been the same. They're like, oh, he's so handsome. Yeah, well, compared to John Wayne Gacy and these other guys, I mean, look at the groupies around. All right, Rich, what is coming up?
The Bruins win in the least expected way possible.
Yeah, I know. But you know what game I watched last night? Little Romeo Langford.
Oh, you put on a satin jacket? You watched basketball last night.
I like Romeo Langford, and I heard a call on the Adam Jones show saying what a crappy pick it was.
He got his first start, and he finished the game last night.
They put him on defensively. They put him on the top, one of the top scorers, best shooter.
Played, and Heinsohn was all over his defensive acumen. All right, so we will be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Be listening at 6:50 this morning for your chance to see Guns N' Roses with a pair of tickets to see that band on July 21st at Fenway Park. Tickets on sale tomorrow at noon at redsox.com/tickets. And that's
the
not,
word slash or forward slash?
That's unfortunate that they wrote it that way, but I think it's forward slash.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. Well,
or it could just be forward thinking slash, thinking about the vastness of the universe.
Which he likes to do very often, as a matter of fact. Well, if you predicted the way the Bruins would have won last night, then you, sir, are a damn wizard.
Near corner, Grizzly puts it back of the net for Corrali. Trying to escape. Keith does. Back of the net. Got a pick from Coyle. Right of the net. It's fired. They score! Sean Corrali! Able to sneak it through the five hole of Robin Leonard. Bruins won. Blackhawks won.
Yeah, so the Bruins stayed locked up against the Blackhawks in Chicago, one goal apiece. And with just over a minute left, it looked like the Bruins had blown this one.
And now we're going to have a penalty here on Krug. Near circle, it's Cajuli scores. They're going to wash it out. Here we go.
There's no goal on the play. The whistle had gone. Minor penalty.
Yeah, that was weird because it wasn't quite explained as it first happened, but the goal almost immediately taken off the board because the refs found the Blackhawks guilty of a hand pass moments before. They showed the replay. It absolutely was, and you could hear the whistle being blown. Disaster averted. So then things were sent to overtime, which, of course, as we know, the Bruins never win in overtime except tonight. They did, or last night, rather. And it was the last guy anyone would expect who buried the game winner.
Now Krejci cruises through the middle.
Push back, boy.
Near circle. DeBrusk centers, deflected. They score! Charlie McAvoy with his first goal of the season. An overtime winner here at the United Center. The Boston Bruins record a 2-1 win over the Blackhawks, and they have now won 5 consecutive games.
And then Jake DeBrus jumped on top of him and gave him a concussion. DeBrus got to watch out, man. I've seen him do a couple of the Selly things, and like, there's been a couple of times where he's almost knocked the guys out that he's jumped on top of as McAvoy fell backwards. But really quick, that was the Bruins' version of seeing a unicorn, an overtime win with a goal scored by Charlie McAvoy, the same Charlie McAvoy who had not scored all season long. As a matter of fact, he hadn't scored in a whopping 51 games. That's 75 shots on net that never went in. And last night it did when they needed it the most. 2-1 the final
score. Bob Beers called that. Did you hear him say McAvoy about 5 seconds before McAvoy put it in?
Well, it's because it was the perfect 2-on-1. I mean, you saw that. I mean, yeah. DeBrusk was an amazing pass by DeBrusk.
It was very nice.
There were some people on Twitter. I believe Joe Haggerty at the beginning of the game was like, this is the game that McAvoy scored. I don't know if he's been tweeting that before every game because it should happen.
He had broken down film in real life.
He saw the matchups.
Yeah, he saw the matchups and came to that conclusion.
But the Bruins are now first place in the league. I almost don't like saying that because of the curse of the President's Trophy, but what the hell? There's plenty of hockey left for them to lose a few games. So here's Chucky Cheeks and his first goal of the season.
Relief. It was a heck of a play by JD, and just really simple for me. I was just trying to go to the back post, and what a pass. He put it right on my stick, and the rest was history.
Even Bruce Cassidy.
Wait, hang on a second. Charlie McAvoy. I saw you had to leave the ice there and hit the restrooms. How'd you feel after?
Relief.
What was it? I saw that Dunkin' Donuts commercial. I actually listened to the new Pasternak Dunkin' Donuts commercial with the
volume.
No. Someone needs to pull it up. It's when who's the female hockey player that's like busting his balls, and he goes like pasta feel hurt inside or something like that. He skates away. Can you find that Dunkin' Donuts? It was excellent. It's another great like David Pasternak line like. Pasta feel hurt inside of his heart or something like that, like skates away. Dunkin' Donuts knows exactly how to use David Pasternak, and I'm not joking. They do. Dunkin', rather. I'm sorry. It's not Dunkin' Donuts. No, Dunkin'.
Yeah.
The rebranding.
Get that right.
Mm-hmm. So even Bruce Cassidy seemed genuinely happy for Charlie McAvoy to get off the schneid last night.
No, I think he's just playing lots of minutes, playing to his strength, getting up the ice when he can. You know, he had a couple chances tonight to shoot. He looked for back door, but at the end of the day, he's good. Like I said, he's a good player for us. Match up every night. The offense will come. I mean, you know, maybe yesterday and today is a start of that a little bit more.
You know who did not like the way that ended last night? Joe Murray. His big thing is Charlie McAvoy sucks. He's the worst and will never amount to anything. And he did not like that the game winner was scored by him last night. So
Joe Murray on TV a lot in Providence.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know why. I saw like a screen cap of him.
Tim McCone, I believe, works as a sports anchor in Providence and had him on.
Now, what was it for?
I would assume betting, but I don't know.
Okay. Can you bet in Rhode Island?
Legally,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, because it's New Hampshire, Rhode Island, for some reason right here in the middle.
Everywhere but here.
Right. You would think that the state with the big-ass casinos in it, like the brand-new one, they just...
North of the border, south of the border, not here. Yeah,
the people of Everett are prideful people, mm-hmm. a pious people. Mm-hmm. They don't want any sports wagering in there.
Well, next up, the Coyotes come to town for a matinee game this Saturday at 3. You can hear it right here on 98.5 Sports Hub.
All right, Rich.
You have that pasta right there? Can I hear it? You got it, Dan?
In hockey, sometimes we call this a sweater.
It's also what I call this little guy. I used to hold my Dunkin' cold brew.
You made that?
Yeah. Just like I made this friendship sweater.
Cool.
I do a little bit every time I'm in the box.
Where there's hockey.
It's a different one. It's a different one where she's like busting on him and he gets all upset and skates away.
Pastor, when you finally got your some time to yourself in your hotel room and found some moisturizer and Kleenex, what did you feel?
Thanks.
It's the only one I had ready to go.
Okay. Boo. What'd you feel?
A lick it, boom, boom, down.
How are you finding all these but not the one that you just played?
Are you talking about McAvoy?
Relief.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You said Boston. I got confused.
I don't know. They're all the same.
That's right. All right. When we get back, your guy Romeo Langford did very, very well last night.
All right. So we will talk about that in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Guys of all shapes and sizes
now
come together to form a team.
More of Toucher and Rich.
That could be interesting.
On Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five to Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see Guns N' Roses July 21st at Fenway Park. Tickets on sale tomorrow at noon at redsox.com/tickets.
Well, once again, a shorthanded Celtics make easy work of another opponent.
Tatum, jump pass, Jaylen Brown.
Oh! Terrific! Big time! Right-hand slam on Michael Carter-Williams. Jason Tatum threaded the needle, and then Jaylen Brown stabbed a dude with it.
Oh, my God. Give me two bags of Cheetos.
I'm not quite sure what that means.
No, it was just an order.
It was an order that he wanted.
He's in a drive-thru.
I do know this. Do you remember how last season Jaylen Brown was the king of the brick dunk? Like, he would go in for, like, these tomahawks, and he would always just get rejected. He was just was, like, a couple inches off. Those dunks are going in this year, and they look violent. That was a great one as well. No Kemba, no Marcus Smart, no Daniel Tyson. It was really no problem. The Celtics win their fifth in a row, this time beating up on the Magic, who, believe it or not, they're a playoff team right now. 116-100, the final score. You knew things were dire when Romeo Langford got the start and Taco Fall came in during anything but garbage time, but as long as you have this guy healthy, you really don't have much to worry about.
Tatum steps to his left. Three is in the air. Woo! Got it.
That's sick. That's just nasty. You play great defense like that, and then you come back and you punctuate it with the shot clock going down. That'll give you a timeout.
Tatum has just been awesome the last few weeks.
He was incredible last night.
He was great.
He took over for a long period of time.
He couldn't miss. And there were tough shots he was making, too. 33 points. It's his 630-plus game of the season. On top of that, we're seeing this guy play his best stretch ever as a Celtic.
Tatum working on a 30-point night. Right fist up to call the play. Turns the corner. Finds Hayward. Open three. Got it.
The luxury of having that other dude over there.
But Max, the talk show says these three guys can't play together. They've been brilliant tonight. 10-point lead again. Down to 2:13 to go.
Hayward is absolutely dialed in. 23 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and that mid-range jumper that is nearly automatic. I mean, it's like the kind of shot that anyone else takes, you scream no, but when he does it, it's almost...
What's Grandy's problem with the talk radio?
He just said the talk shows.
Yeah, what's his problem?
I don't think it's this particular program
I don't
he's
care.
Talking about.
He's got a lot of balls.
Does he got a lot of guff?
Yeah, I mean,
it's more guff than balls.
I mean,
if you ask
all right.
Me.
Oh wow, you call the games.
He's got a lot of cats talking that smack.
I don't want your job.
But the thing is, Hayward's exact. I mean, he's
John
you know,
does. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. John wants his job. He's been the best facilitator on this team. He's been just phenomenal. What were you about to say, John?
What I was going to say was now that Kemba Walker has been hurt and Marcus Smart is out and not starting. Gordon Hayward's running the point for this team.
And he's excellent as a point guard.
Well, I mean, that's not just it. If you watched any of Gordon Hayward in Utah, this is what they did. Gordon Hayward, in the fourth quarter, they would spread the floor, they'd give the ball to Hayward, and he would take over down the stretch.
So do they have four guys now averaging over 20 points a game?
Because
it was three for a while.
Three. I don't think Hayward's at 20 yet.
Okay, because he has had a stretch now of, I think it's seven games where he's scored over 20 points each game.
It was one hiccup against Philadelphia, but yeah, he's been dominant. I don't think he's quite there yet.
Okay, but I mean, either way, that is... I don't think there's any other team. Is there another team in the league that has three players that are averaging over 20 points a game?
No.
I think the Celtics might be the only team where that is the case. Yeah. And you're probably right now, as you said, just because of Hayward's numbers as of late. He's got to be inching towards that.
17.
Okay,
17 a game. Jalen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Kemba Walker are all between 20 and 22 points a game.
But you're missing the headline, Romeo Langford.
Yes, right.
Yeah, Romeo Langford, and don't forget about this guy.
Shot clock at 11. Hayward returns to Jalen Brown again against Fultz. Left-hand dribble, driving in the paint, hangs in the air, forces it up, no good. Offensive rebound, tapped home by Grant Williams, making plays again.
Making play after play after play for a young player.
Yeah. Oh, the Greek freak, getting more playing time than usual.
Geek freak.
Did I say Greek?
You said Greek.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Yeah, he's older than Romeo Langford. So,
fending off the haters, Fred.
Great defense, too, Fred.
I fell down a rabbit hole with Romeo Langford last night, and it showed him in high school. And he was one of the top players, obviously, in high school. And it showed him at Indiana before he got hurt. He said if he had not played through his thumb injury, he would have been a top five pick. Very explosive.
Yeah.
Very explosive.
They got faith in him. I mean, it was nice. As I said, not only did he start, but he finished the game last night. And he did good. He stepped up and he helped them.
You just can't come out and steal the show.
I can't steal the show.
You know what? Romeo Langford, obviously five-star recruit, averaged 30 points a game in high school. Over 3,000 points in high school.
Already a Red Claws legend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well,
he's played through a ton of injuries, and in his heart in Indiana, his willingness to win on a team that wasn't very good is it ended up costing him money. So there you go.
Here's Gordon Hayward on the win.
We're having fun. I think that's a good thing for us. We're finding ways to win, even with guys injured. We have a tough, tough stretch coming up. So we're going to have to bring our own energy when we go on the road. We have another one at home first in Atlanta. Try to beat them again. But we got to continue to bring our own energy.
So the Celtics
have
won.
What do you know about fun, nerd?
Drew Gordon, well, listen, he has fun sitting in front of the computer.
Yeah, you just sit in front of that computer all day like a dweeb. You probably would be in Lambda, 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 Lamb.
He might be.
And your girl's probably in Omega Moo.
He plays like the nerdiest of the nerd games, right? His is like the Elder Scrolls or something like that. I forget which. It's like EverQuest or some kind. It's not even like Fortnite, which is something that most like athletes play. It's like really, it's a deep nerd video game, isn't it?
Yeah, he is. I think he, well, I believe that
Troll
he is.
Troll Warrior, something like that.
Yeah, like, oh, look at you. Heed who's under the bridge.
Yes.
But I believe he has room. I mean, he's multimillionaire. And he has taken a lot of his money and made it into a room where he can game.
He has the chair from the 40-year-old virgin.
I think a lot of people have the chair from the 40-year-old version. A lot of kids, and I'm like, why are you spending your money on that crap?
Well, the Celtics continue to roll. Hawks come to town tomorrow night. Tip-off 7:30. You can hear it right here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
All right. Well, we have a situation going between two people at this radio station. They are not happy with one another. And were you contacted by one of these parties?
I don't think so. No, I don't know where you're going with it, but I'll go along with it.
I thought Hook was pissed.
No. We're just checking in with him because of the conditions out on the road. He works for Channel 7
to prove a point for something else.
Okay. Well, yes. We can briefly touch on that if you will get both parties on the phone. We can check on that, please. Okay. All right. No commercials here. Just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.